Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Power to the people! Power to the people! It's time for Power to the People. Come on, Wayne. Come on now. Power to the people. Power to the people. Power to the people. It's Power to the People.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Powell to the People, live on the radio. Wayne Powell here, and today we're in the studio because we have a special guest, live and in person from the Roundhouse Aquarium Teaching Center in Manhattan Beach. You know, I didn't know whether to say teaching center or there's another term that you use from time to time, roundhouse, aquarium, something or other. Anyways, so we have Eric Martin and Valerie Hill, and Eric's title is Aquarist Director, and Val is the Science and Development Director. For those of you that are listening in on the East Coast or Midwest or somewhere other than Southern California, we have a really cool Manhattan Beach pier. And on the end of the pier, or at the end of the pier, is a roundhouse, and there's an aquarium. And it's the coolest thing. And some people don't know what's in there. At one time, I think a long time ago, it was a restaurant or a coffee shop. But it's been an aquarium, and it's a nonprofit organization, and the primary purpose is to teach. And we're going to talk about, you know, on-site education programs, off-site, when they drove to the studio, and I was expecting the van, which we'll talk about, the Rove van, R-O-V-E, not like rogue, in case I don't enunciate that well. So, but again, welcome, Eric and Val. So the first thing I want to talk about is describe, you know, the overall, and we'll get into specifics, you know, what you guys do.
Well, thanks, Wayne. First of all, the Roundhouse Aquarium, if you guys have never been there, as Wayne described, it's at the end of Manhattan Beach Pier, and we are probably the smallest, most advanced aquarium in the whole world. When I say the smallest, I mean you can actually go into the aquarium through one door, through the east door, should I say. And then we have a very large, well, I can't say in today's standards large tanks, for our aquarium is large. We have a 1,300-gallon tank that has, oh, like striped bass. You heard that right. And we also have some we call him Sheldon. Sheldon is a very large male sheephead. He basically runs this place. And then we also have a few other sharks, like swell sharks, that are in that tank. And a Garibaldi, which, if you guys didn't know, the Garibaldi is the state fish of California. But then directly across, we have like your typical, maybe like a 250-gallon tank that has like a mini reef with anemones and other fish. But we have one of the coolest touch tanks that are there. And when you do go in, you can actually, you can't pick up these animals, but people that have never actually touched a sea star before, we have a sea star called bat stars. We have several different kinds of snails in there. Some of those snails you might find, oh, which I hate to put it this way, in a shell shop, which people should not basically buy things, something like that. But the reason why I'm saying this, it's called a chestnut cowrie, and a cowrie snail is a very shiny, beautiful shell, what a lot of people use around their homes for jewelry or other things. And got little hermit crabs running around that's inside of there. And then, of course, we are on a pier, like I said. So on this pier, we want to try to simulate how it is from a pier piling. So we have a, I don't want to use the word imitation. I can't think of the actual word. artificial. Sorry, there you go. An artificial. Sorry, my brain gets fogged sometimes. An artificial pier piling, which basically simulates our pier piling, which is on Manhattan Beach Pier. And we have baby fish in there. We have baby sharks. And we store kelp in there, what we use to feed the other animals. And it's on a sandy bottom.
Speaking about sharks, I heard something a few weeks ago, and you tell me whether it's true or not, but they say if you take a baby shark and you put it in a small enclosed area, it won't get to the size as if it were, like out in the ocean, and they adapt by, the size of their containment area. Is that true?
That is true. There are several different kinds of sharks out there that live in the ocean. Of course, if you think about great white, tiger sharks, bull sharks, things like that, you can't have those animals in captivity. They're called pelagic sharks. They need the big blue ocean to swim with no boundaries, hit on walls or anything like that. Then you take other sharks. Like you take something what we call swell sharks, horned sharks. In other parts of the world, there's things called zebra sharks. All these kind of sharks belong to the cat shark family. They basically don't move hundreds of miles a day. These guys actually can sit at the bottom and pump oxygen through their gills. Unlike the other sharks what I mentioned, they have to keep on moving. If they stop, they're going to suffocate. So those are the two different kinds. So the sharks, basically what most people have in aquariums all around the world, are the sharks that basically that are able to stop moving and stuff. Yes, I know some people out there probably thinking, well, this aquarium has this and this aquarium has that. It's going to cut down the longevity on that animal too, and there's a good chance that animal might not live a year to 2 years. They just put it on display just to put it on display. There's a lot of things we don't know about these animals, and we're learning things every day.
Yeah. Well, I remember the very first time I went in, and of course, when you come in the entrance, the first thing you see on the left is the touch tank, and it's an elongated tank, and you see a number of kids, and, I'd never actually saw a starfish, a live starfish. I mean, everyone sees, the ones that are, how would you say, they don't move, and they're hard and solid. But I'd never actually seen a real live one, moving around. And then, of course, I looked over, and I think there were, when you go upstairs, you see the jellyfish tank, and that was like the coolest thing. And when you see kids coming out of the roundhouse, they go, oh, wow, I saw this, I saw that. And this one kid was saying, and I touched, and in the same sentence, they use the term shark and touch tank, but you don't touch the sharks, or they're not in that tank. But it's like, wow, something's changed since the last time they've been here. And I, out of curiosity, I went in, and it's like, oh, okay, no, not the same tank. But and then there was one time a kid said, oh, they got all kinds of things, mentioning, the jellyfish and Garibaldi, and they said piranha. And that was another time when I said, I don't think they have piranha in there. They must have been confused with some other type of fish that maybe looks like a piranha, or they just assumed, there's piranha because you guys have a lot of varieties.
Yeah, that's great that you mentioned that, because there's a lot of people, let's put it this way. We live next to the ocean. I grew up next to the ocean. Val next to me also, grew up next to the ocean. We all have. So we kind of know what's in the ocean and stuff like that. But, I used to think, people from different states, like Val, that's next to me, she comes from New Mexico. When was the last time you saw a lobster in New Mexico or sharks? Doesn't happen that often. But then I realized, it's just not the other states that don't have an ocean. I'm finding out it could be a mile up the street. It could be, the middle of L.A. in a city. A lot of these kids just can't get to the water. So where they popped up and they say, oh, look at the piranha. Oh, look at the electric eel and everything. They just don't know. And the people that are actually, wondering about this, piranhas are in South America. Piranhas live in fresh water only. And just like all those movies out there, Piranha 1, 2, 3, 4, 26, whatever out there, they always make it bloody. They always make everything going like that. You know, the South American natives walk down there. They know everything. They can walk across those rivers knowing the piranhas that are in the water. They don't get eaten. And especially when you jump in the water and people go, ooh, look at the shark. You know, and we see a dolphin out there. People go, look at the shark. No, they're dolphins. But I'm in the water almost every day surfing. Have I seen sharks? Oh, yeah. Have I swam with a great white? Oh, yeah. Hey, guess what? I'm here talking to everybody. So, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions about these things. A lot of people look at and say, ooh, look at the electric eels. We have all this stuff. You know, another shocker to everybody, there's no electric eels that live in the ocean. They're all freshwater. And guess what? South America with the piranhas.
Mm-hmm. Well, and some people, or many people, I assume, have seen Survivor, and they put them in these environments where there's like piranha, various poisonous snakes or other creatures. And I don't know in reality if they, how close they get to there. I don't think that for liability purposes that would go well. But most of the species that you have are what's native to the Santa Monica Bay.
Yes, everything, when you come into the Roundhouse Aquarium, everything is native to directly to in Santa Monica Bay and what lives directly under our pier. And that's what makes actually the Roundhouse very unique of what it is. I think we have, Val, I think, don't we have something like 135 different species?
Certainly over 100 species last time I counted. Takes a long time, so I try not to count every day. But if you have to think about all of the teeny tiny things, too. There are things that you don't really even consider when you're walking around, especially if it's your first time. You might be focusing on some of our larger animals, our eels, of course, the touch tank. But as you come more and more, you want to start looking closer, looking at the smaller animals, things like brittle stars that are hiding inside the rocks. You might not find those the first time, or our orange sea cucumbers that are poking out through the rocks. So when you count all those species, and then of course I have to count our algae and seaweed species that we have living in each tank, certainly more than 100.
And you have kelp as well.
Oh, well, if we're going to talk about kelp, there goes the rest of the day, because now I have the microphone. Yes, it's really difficult to have live kelp at an aquarium, but we collect it weekly to feed our different animals. We try to give them the Pacific giant kelp, which is what's native to our area, and also the largest and fastest growing algae out there. It can grow about 2 feet a day and get 100 feet tall. And it's really good for our snails, like our abalone. They love to eat it, and it's great to have different animals to camouflage in it. And the algae in the ocean makes about 80% of the oxygen that we breathe. So it's a great teaching tool for students and the public that come in to explain some of the more important things going on in the ocean.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it may have been after the first time I was at the Roundhouse Aquarium, and I said, you know, I want to have an aquarium myself. And I was looking up fish, and of course I didn't know one from another, but the ones that I liked were saltwater fish. So I said, oh, great, I'm going to get a saltwater aquarium. And I live a half a block from the beach, so I've got unlimited saltwater. But then somebody said, no, it doesn't work. You can't do that. It doesn't work that way. Out of curiosity, why? And now Eric's going to tell me.
Well, actually, it can work that way. There's a lot. So the fish and other corals and invertebrates, what you get in a fish store, it comes from different parts of the world. Some of them are wild caught, which is not a good thing. And some of them are aquacultured, which they're actually, instead of going out wild catching them, they're actually raising them in their, what do you call it, like pools at their play, you know, like homes and stuff like that. And they sell them to aquariums and things like that. They actually have a license to do that. So here's the thing. Different animals in different parts of the world. Yes, you might think it's, hey, saltwater, saltwater. 100% saltwater is saltwater. But here's the difference. some of the salt water is warmer in parts of the world. You know, like, you know, I could say Hawaii, but people think Hawaii is super warm. Hawaii's average temperature there is actually around 75. But let's go to Florida. Let's go to the Caribbean. Let's go to all those other places. Water temperature is like 80, 85 there. A lot of things change when you raise the temperature of the water, such as salinity. You have a lower salinity rate when you're in colder water, and you have a higher salinity rate when you're in warmer water. Why is that? Simple. Evaporation. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. But then, over all these hundreds and thousands of years, these animals started to adapt in this particular area where they, you know, started from. So you can't take a warm water animal and go put it in a cold water place, or vice versa. It'll totally... And a lot of times our sea stars right now in the summertime, when it gets warm, they got to find another place to go. They go deeper. If they stay in that high 70 degree range, they're going to die. So they constantly go up and down and up and down like that. So there's also different densities of water by how blue the water is, like what Val was talking about, her lovely seaweed and plankton. When you come up, you know, if you come walking up a Manhattan Beach pier and you look straight down, people go, oh, disgusting, the water's polluted, I can't see down to the bottom. No, it's not polluted. It's basically all that plankton, which is just, you know, all that plankton growth for our area of water. The colder the water, basically, the more plankton growth is in there. There's a reason why whales go up to Alaska in colder waters to feed, and then to have their babies, they go to warmer water because the warmer water is clear, not that much plankton is around. So animals have adapted to back and forth with that. So to answer your question about taking water out of there, so if you get all these beautiful color fish and some other invertebrates, corals and whatever, build up your own tank, and then you go to our water and you put it in there, just put it in there, all that extra plankton and everything like that could harm the animals. But if you take that extra water and then if you run it through a nice little carbon system to take the things out of it, then it'll work.
And I did learn a thing or two about temperature, because a couple of years after that, I decided I wanted to have just a real small fish tank in my office where I was working. And they said, well, the best fish is to get a betta fish, and they're very good, you know, colorful and really cool looking. And they said, but don't get two because they'll fight, or maybe it's like male and female, I can't remember. So I had one betta fish, and I went home from work. The next morning, it died. And it's like, and I knew to mix the stuff with the water, because when you get water, there's chlorine or other chemicals, and I had a solution that you mix. So I thought I'd done that right, but I figured maybe I didn't. And the place had a guarantee, so I got another betta fish. Sure enough, it died. Well, then later I found out that the air conditioning system was on a timer, so at night, the air conditioning and heating, the HVAC system, it was on a timer, and at night, and this was during the winter, you know, the heating went off, and so it got cold such that the temperature was obviously not, you know, right for any type of fish, but let alone a betta fish, and it died. And then I remember after like the second, or I think I had three, and I think you get three strikes, the person where I bought the fish said, you know, what's it? And I guess they knew exactly why it had died. They said, well, you don't have a heater in your tank? I said, well, no, it's just in a fishbowl. Well, you do keep it at a normal, regular temperature. And then that's when I realized and found out, no. So it's like, okay, I guess I'm not going to have a fish tank. But, you know, I knew, or I learned all about, you know, what it takes. So I can only imagine in, you know, the Roundhouse Aquarium and with different fish, with different particulars, that, you know, it takes a lot of work to keep it the way it needs to be to keep the fish healthy.
It takes a lot of work, and it's just not trying to keep the temperatures up and stuff like that. You also have to think about what different fish go together with the same tank. A lot of people, now I'm switching to freshwater, a lot of people will get these things called cichlids. And they will put these cichlids in a nice, beautiful tank. And they look beautiful. And then they're going to say, oh, I want an angelfish. I want this with this. Well, cichlids don't like any other fish except barely their own. They will attack each other. And it works that same way in our tank. So like I mentioned about Sheldon, our big sheephead that's probably about like 17 pounds right now and it's over 3 feet, very large fish. If I put anything in there that's A, smaller than him, that's like more like a grazer kind of a thing to eat algae off of there, like a small bass or something. I know bass aren't algae feeders, but you do anything like that. Sheldon's a bully, and he will let them know, and he could kill them. So it goes that way with other fish. Like we also have an awesome tank that has native pipefish. And pipefish are really, really, really cool. I can't put pipefish in an ordinary tank that's got a Garibaldi because the Garibaldi's going to eat them.
Mm. Yeah, so there's a lot that you have to know about to make sure that it's a safe environment for the animals, as well as, you know, just to give people a very good experience as to what their environments are, because it is an educational facility, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. But first, we have to take a commercial break. You're listening to Powell to the People on the Healthy Life Radio Network.
It's Power to the People.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now this same technology is available to you. They have the best Earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now. So come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 1-800-849-8978. That's 1-800-849-8978.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Love with Food delivers healthy, natural, organic, or gluten-free snacks every month right to your door. Whether you want a home or business box, Love with Food has got you covered. Membership starts at $9.99 a month. Imagine junk-free food delivered every month. And the best thing is that for every box you buy, Love with Food donates to food banks in America. To find out more, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click the Love with Food banner. And do it right now.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
It's Powell to the People.
Welcome back. You're listening to Powell to the People. Wayne Powell here in the studio, and I'm with Eric and Val from the Manhattan Beach Roundhouse Aquarium. Well, one thing I want to talk about, and it's relatively new, or at least you have a new website for it, but you're doing things with Pacific bottlenose dolphins. Talk about that.
Well, thank you. That is actually when I... A really neat thing that I kind of like started through the Roundhouse Aquarium. Well, first of all, just to let everybody know out there, I'm not new to marine mammals and dolphins. I go way, way back to 1984 when I actually saw my very first wild killer whales. I used to work at the place up in Palos Verdes called Marineland. And seeing these incredible black and white animals, top predators, just blew me away. And learning about marine mammals from then on just took off. So through the years of doing that, you know, I've always, you know, seen the dolphins out on the boat, always go try to take pictures of them, learn about them and everything. And then my life started going into learning behaviors in families. And the killer whales basically was teaching me about that. You know, it's just you just don't see a group of killer whales. You know, the killer whales consisted of a full, you know, family tribe, if you want to call it that way. It's got culture. Each individual family in different parts of the world is totally different. They speak different dialects. And I love about babysitting. Anyways, through that whole thing, you know, eventually I started, you know, working at the Roundhouse Aquarium. Just to let everybody know out there, we didn't always used to have bottlenose dolphins on our coast. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think, oh, that's so cool. We've always had them. I remember, because I surfed out here all my life from the mid-70s, and it wasn't until the 1983 El Nino we started seeing the dolphins coming up into our Santa Monica Bay. And from then, it just started going more and more and more throughout the years. So then eventually got a, you know, started working at the aquarium, and I didn't really think of things much. You know, when I used to go surfing, the dolphins would always... The coastal bottlenose would always be coming around the surfboard, so I started to get to know them. Just me sitting out there surfing, they started coming around my board. I started getting to know, you know, one group after another. And I don't know, that's kind of like how it started. And still at the time, I wasn't really, you know, go, oh, there's a group of dolphins going by. You know, it was that kind of a thing. And then back in 2014, I started thinking, can I fly a drone? The only reason why, because that's when drones started coming out. Well, first of all, the reason why I came up with that was because I'm ADHD and massively dyslexic, and everything what I've tried to fly radio control end up in 100 different pieces. So it was, so you drone operators out there, you're not the only one. Just keep on trying. But anyways, I just didn't want to fly a drone. I wanted to basically learn about animals in a view that I couldn't see, you know, because otherwise when you're a boat, you only see them from a level, and that's it. So I got better and better and better and better trying to fly it. And then I decided one day back in the end of 2018, beginning of 2019, I said to myself, I go, you know what? I want to see what these dolphins look like from the air. The Dolphin Project was basically born that way because I started getting more and more excited about things. About the dolphins, people would be coming around. I'd go, oh my goodness, look at this, look at that. And the excitement raged on that whole thing. And throughout the few years that I was doing this, I found out that Manhattan Beach has basically, I don't want to call them this, but I am going to because I see them a lot, is three resident pods of bottlenose dolphin. And each group consists of anywhere between 13 to 16 animals. And what really gets me going, it's just not basically who's who, what's what. I love to study, like I said before, behaviors in these animals.
And you have names for them, and you know most of them, and you know when this one is coming back?
Yes. I mean, there are some names, of course. You know, there's one I don't even know. It's a female. I've seen her raise a young dolphin up, you know, from being born. And I call her Shark Bite. I don't know if it was a shark bite or anything. I don't want anybody to start thinking, God, a shark bite. But around where the eyes are and the rostrum back there, there's this football-shaped bite-looking mark that had flesh coming from the side of it here and there about a year ago. And that's when she was raising her young one. And for the longest time, I was saying, man, I wonder if that's a shark bite. I still cannot say it is. I would see her off and on, and I haven't seen her for a while, but guess who showed up like 4 weeks ago with her now one-year-old calf? Shark bite showed up. So that's how that name came in, was Shark Bite. Then we have another one. I've been watching her since the beginning. Her name is Scully, and how she got her name was she has scoliosis. Now, people who don't know what scoliosis is, it is a back disease of a deformity of the spine. Mm. And sometimes with some animals, they end up dying. With marine mammals, some do and some don't. I know there are some humpback whales, and I've seen some in books. When I say I've seen some information in books of fin whales. But Scully is a female, and about a year and a half ago, she was moving kind of slow, and I wasn't sure what was going on. I go, oh, hopefully I see her next year. And about 4, 5, 6 weeks after that, she had a new calf. So that was the first time seeing this animal that has scoliosis actually able to contribute to the family group. You know, so, you know, we have all the, you know, so we have names like that. There's some that, you know, otherwise we are able to tell by the dolphins, by the nicks on their dorsal fins. Every dorsal fin is different. It's like our little thumbprint, which is on there.
Speaking about dorsal fins, a number of years ago, I was swimming, you know, in the ocean. And, of course, they always say swim in front of a lifeguard tower, which I did. So I'm kind of just hanging out, and it was during the winter, and it was cold, and I had a spring suit, not a full wetsuit, and I felt this bump on my shin, and I look up, and I see this dorsal fin. Well, you know, I was a swimmer in high school many, many, many years ago. I was more of a diver than a swimmer, but I never swam so fast in my life, and the lifeguard said, because they were watching, and the lifeguard said, well, what's up with that? I said, what do you mean, what's up with that? You didn't see that shark? And it almost attacked me. Actually, it bumped into me, and I was afraid it was going to bite me. He goes, that's not a shark. That was a dolphin. There's a pod of friendly dolphins. And I remember it was like a month or two ago, I was taking photos. I write articles for a local magazine, and I'm featuring the Roundhouse Aquarium next month. But I wanted to take photos to accompany it. And I ran into Eric, and Eric has dolphin radar in the back of his head because we're talking. All of a sudden, he turns his head real quickly and goes, look. There's the pod of dolphins. I don't think I would have, and it was at a distance, I don't think I would have noticed on my own, but you did.
Yeah, you know, it's just a trained eye and stuff. I basically look for any kind of splash. Sounds funny, but any kind of splash that normally is not on the ocean, or if you have a lot of white caps are basically wind pushing the waves over, which creates this white cap. And sometimes I'll look at and I go, oh, look at the white caps. But the problem is all the caps are going to the left, and one white cap goes to the right. I go, oh, what is that? So it just takes a train in the eye with something like that. And that was really when you mentioned, Wayne, about having the dolphins this morning before I came down to do this broadcast with you. I had the drone over with some very active dolphins, and there are these two swimmers. And I was following the dolphins, and all of a sudden, here comes some of the dolphins in the same frame where the swimmers are. The swimmers stopped. The dolphins, I'm going to say the dolphins were about, because the person's is about 6 foot, they're about, so about like 20, 30 feet away, and the dolphins just stayed into that little thing, didn't run out, and the people are arms are pointing. You could see it from the air that they were excited, and it was a really neat experience. And I can guarantee you, those two swimmers are going to have a story to tell people today after they're out of the water.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that note, we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Powell to the People on the Healthy Life Radio Network.
It's Powell to the People.
Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET.
They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
If you're in Southern California, you might want to consider HealthyLife.net Radio for advertising. We have 18 hosts that have shows with loyal listeners just in Southern California. That means you get local advertising and the world for the same affordable price. With packages for every budget, you can't afford not to let that economic sun shine in for your business. Call now 1-800-555-5453. That's 1-800-555-5453.
When you need quality Auto Parts Warehouse is fast and easy. Always get the part that fits. Just enter your vehicle type to find the part specific to your car. Auto body parts, mirrors, brakes, suspension and steering, engines and drivetrains. Need something yet? What about exterior and interior accessories or headlights? Auto Parts Warehouse has them. Top brands, great prices. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Auto Parts Warehouse.
Everybody down! Dwayne Johnson here. The earthquakes you see in movies are one thing, but real life is a completely different animal. Just because you can't predict an earthquake doesn't mean that you can't prepare for one. In the event of a real earthquake, you should drop, cover, and hold off. Visit ready.gov/earthquake and practice what to do to keep you and your family safe in the event of a real earthquake, and you'll be seen as a hero by your family and your loved ones.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
It's Power to the People. Welcome back. You're listening to Powell to the People. Wayne Powell here in the studio. One of those, it seems like, relatively rare occasions. I like doing things at home, but of course I have my guests, Eric and Val, from the Manhattan Beach Roundhouse Aquarium. Well, during the commercial break, we were talking, and as Eric knows, Eric, by the way, did an excellent presentation at the Manhattan Beach Library on all of the great stuff, everything you wanted to know about the marine wildlife, you know, particularly in the Manhattan Beach area, but also generally in the Santa Monica Bay. But I was showing him a photo that I got when I had the privilege of swimming with a dolphin, and the dolphin kissed me, hugged me, and I got to hold it and had a great photo op. Now, then I found out that, you know, and actually I posted on social media and some people said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. That's cruel. They're kept in a small containment area, and they maybe aren't even treated properly. And the person who, the trainer, initially, I guess, has gotten negative feedback, said, you know, all the things that why that's not especially true. And he said that where they're stored, there's actually an opening, and they're free to go out into the ocean and come back, and some do. And but they always come back because they like the way they're treated. Of course, they get fish every time they, you know, that's the positive reinforcement. So, but at least just to be able to touch one. And of course, I think of the touch tanks, the touch tank at the Roundhouse Aquarium. But this is touching a dolphin, and it was well trained. And I can't remember what her name was. They had a really cool name for it. But anyways, I want to shift gears and talk about the education programs, because I know especially you also do educational outreach for inner city people that they've never even seen the ocean before, let alone an aquarium or the type of fish that you have. But you do training, you know, in the aquarium, you have classes and programs, you go out, you do outreach, and then you have a van that goes around. Talk about that.
Yeah, so we're really fortunate. We get to teach about 35,000 students every year, and you're right, about 25% of the students that are able to come on our field trips have never seen the beach before. And this, like we're saying, this is not from, you know, New Mexico or Arizona. These are kids coming from Inglewood, Lawndale, Los Angeles, And so we're really proud to be able to give them a great first experience at the beach and pair it with education about what they can do to be good ocean citizens. We love to have students at the aquarium. They get to tour the aquarium. We do some great activities with them. They learn about the ocean food chain. They learn about plankton. They learn about all the animals in our touch tank. They get to really have that hands-on interaction. And then we take them down to the beach where they learn about what belongs on the beach and what doesn't belong on the beach. So they actually do a beach cleanup with us. They pick up trash as well as feathers and wood. And we talk about how these natural items like feathers and wood are good for the beach. They biodegrade, they become fertilizer for native plants, and how things like plastic don't, and why it's important to put those things in the trash can. Even when they're at school, their trash makes it down to the beach. And I think it's really important. We hear teachers tell us all the time that students go back and organize cleanups around their campus and try and get the other students at school involved. So I think we're making a good positive impact on those students. Unfortunately, not everyone can make it down to us, and there's only so many school days in a year, and we do have field trips almost every school day of the year, but we can't possibly get every student in there. It is a space-limited aquarium. Since we are on the end of the pier, we can't really grow too much bigger. So we do have our outreach program where we bring things to school, and we do take our touch tank animals. Those students are able to still interact with our sea stars, our sea urchins, watch our funny hermit crabs crawl around in the tank. And we, of course, bring things like shark teeth, shark eggs, dolphin skulls, all kinds of things for them to interact with. And we can bring some of the same activities like our food chain. They can even look at plankton under a microscope. We, of course, always want to talk about seaweed when we go, so we bring some artificial seaweed with mm-hmm. us and try to give them the best possible experience as well. So if you are in the Los Angeles area, you know, and you see us, give us a wave. Our van is hard to miss. It looks like a giant kelp forest on wheels. And, of course, it says Roundhouse Aquarium on the side, so that's a good signal as well. So wave at us on the freeway while we're on our way to these various schools.
But keep at least your eyes on the road when you're doing that.
Yes, wave, but still watch the road and have your other hand on the wheel.
Well, I know that there was a time when, and one thing I do want to mention is Michael Greenberg, who tragically lost his son, Harrison, and to honor his son, he made, I think it was a $4 million donation for the renovation of the roundhouse. And there was a period of time when it was under renovation. So you had a number of tanks and things that were in vehicles on the beach. And it was a remote roundhouse during that construction period.
Yes, we were able to completely remodel the aquarium thanks to the generosity of the Harrison Greenberg Foundation. And of course, during that time, we didn't want our students to miss out on any of the opportunities. So we did have sort of a trailer out on the beach temporarily holding our animals. And we did classes out of that for almost a year while we were remodeling. So if you haven't visited us in a while, we did reopen with our brand new beautiful aquarium in 2018. So definitely come by if you haven't been there. Since before that, you'll be pleasantly surprised at all the improvements that were made, both from a visual standpoint, and I know Eric's happy with a lot of our new equipment that we were able to help better take care of the animals as well. And it's a better educational experience for our students that come on field trips and the general public, too.
And you also do summer camps for kids as well.
We do. Registration for summer camp just opened last week, so you got to get going. All of our information is on our website, which is roundhouseaquarium.org. If you want to hear more about the dolphin project that Eric was talking about, our dolphin project website just launched as well. So you can go to that, roundhouseaquarium.org, and click on dolphin project. You can click on summer camp to register, and you can find out more about classes. And when we're open to the public, we're open to the public for free because it is our goal to have as many people as possible learning about these beautiful animals and how to care for the ocean. So we want to make sure anyone can get in.
And you can also make a donation either there or at roundhouseaquarium.org to help sustain this great institution.
Absolutely. It does require funding to bring those students to our programs for free. We don't want the schools to have to pay. And I don't know if anybody has looked up how much it costs to bus a group of students down to the beach, but it is more than you would think. So we always appreciate donations, especially to support those education programs and make sure those students are able to get down to the beach. And then, of course, to take care of our animals as well.
And one thing I learned is you can have a birthday party at the Roundhouse.
You can. Our kids' birthday parties come in a couple different varieties. You can pick a shark theme or a dolphin theme, or if you're a little bit older kid, maybe a squid dissection. Learn about the inside of squid and how they're different from people. It's a lot of fun. You get the whole aquarium to yourself for your party and get to, of course, interact with those live animals, which is the most fun part.
And I should have said at the top of the show, there's four main galleries that you have. You know, one's like an interactive, and there's like this floor-to-ceiling visual display. Actually, right, no sooner do I said that, and our program director says we got to take a commercial break. So let's hold that thought, and we'll pick that up when we come back. But first, you're listening to Powell to the People on the Healthy Life Radio Network.
It's Powell to the People.
Millions of Americans are without access to dental benefits, especially because of the high market demand for quality and affordable dental care in America. Now here comes DentalPlans.com. It's the leading online resource for discount dental plans and an alternative to dental insurance for families and individuals. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on DentalPlans.com now and find your affordable dental care in America.
Okay, so you have a couple of days off, and you're planning to get away from stress. You may be planning to go across the world or even taking a staycation around town. Well, Hotels.com can get you a room in over 158,000 hotels, 60 countries, for 50% off. That's reducing stress already. Plus, collect 10 nights, and you'll get one night free. And there's no cancellation charges, no change fees. For the best deals, even last-minute deals, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Hotels.com.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
I'm Carol King. The opportunity to study music is one of the most valuable things we can give our young people. Music is a positive outlet for creative expression. It reinforces teamwork, communication, self-discipline, and focus, all skills that will benefit them in every aspect of their lives. If your school has a music program, encourage your child to use it. If it doesn't, work with others in your community and do whatever it takes to get one. I know how much my music programs and music teachers meant to me when I was growing up. Leave your kids a note for the future. Support music programs and music teachers in your school and community.
A public service announcement brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and this station. Music, part of a sound education.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
It's Powell to the People.
Welcome back. You're listening to Powell to the People. And I'm here with Eric and Val from the Manhattan Beach Roundhouse Aquarium. Well, I have my handy-dandy notes from when I wrote my article. And the four main galleries are the Marine Habitat Gallery, the Marine Science Gallery, the Education Gallery, and the Immersion Gallery. But the one that piqued my interest the most was the Immersion Gallery. We'll talk about all of them. I mean, you've mentioned everything that people can see, but maybe let's just associate them with each of the galleries.
Sure. So when you first walk in the door, that is the immersion gallery, and that's where you see those beautiful floor-to-ceiling screens. We have videos of local animals that you can find and sounds to go along with it. So if you hear a whale, that is coming from inside the aquarium, not outside usually. And that really helps get you in the frame of mind to go explore underwater with us. You'll end up in our marine habitat gallery with our kelp forest tank, our rocky reef tank, our touch tank. Our teaching gallery is where we have our students doing the programs downstairs. And upstairs, my favorite part, of course, is the one with the microscope. The microscope will feature some of our local plankton, or you might find our brine shrimp, which is what we use to feed some of our animals, like our moon jellies, which are also upstairs. You can find some other items under our microscope. We have a dissecting microscope. You might find a sea urchin test or some shells, shark tooth, something fun like that that you can get a closer look at.
I have my shark jaw with the teeth, you know, the really large one in my house, and people always go, wow. But you actually have, I think it's a dolphin skull with everything.
Yes, this is my dolphins, not your plankton. Thank you. So we also actually have some what we call bone clones, not the actual skulls itself. We do have some skulls, but we don't put them out because everybody, we let people touch all these things. So we basically have a elephant seal skull, and we have also a dolphin skull. And here's going to be a surprise for you guys. Yes, we also have a porpoise skull. There is a difference between a dolphin and a porpoise. I'll get into that one second. And we also have a orca skull. And when you put all these three cetacean skulls together, the orca, dolphin, and porpoise, you're going to find out that they all look the same. Just one's a step bigger than the other one, a little bit bigger than the other. But the main difference between when people go out on the boat and they say, hey, there's porpoises in front of our boat. Most likely they are dolphins. Porpoises, basically, I like to explain, they kind of like look like a football. They're kind of like a football shape kind of a thing. And also the teeth are, here's the major thing, the teeth are spaded teeth, which means they are flat. They're kind of like, instead of coming to a point, they're kind of like flat teeth. And the dolphins look like a torpedo. And they're kind of like octagon-shaped teeth. They aren't kind of like they aren't shaped flat like that. So, and of course, the orca is basically the largest version of them all. If you put a bottlenose dolphin in that, that's, and also orcas happens to be the largest of the dolphin family. But one thing that I want to also say at the for the Discovery Corner area, besides the plankton and the sea urchin tests. The work what I do with the dolphins, I put videos together. So you can either see the videos on the Facebook page of the Wild Dolphin Project, or we also put those videos in the Discovery Corner. There is a TV that runs like a loop of the dolphins, what we see off of our pier.
And again, I want to repeat that if you want to see, let's say you can't make it right away to the Roundhouse Aquarium, the next best thing is to go to the website at roundhouseaquarium.org, and you'll see a lot of that. And then, of course, you can also go to the Dolphin Project, and there's videos, and it is so great. You learn so much. I learned today. I always thought, you know, a porpoise and a dolphin, the terminology was interchangeable, but now I know there is a difference.
Yes, porpoises are mainly further off of our coast, and we have something called a doll's porpoise, which is take a football, make it black, and paint the white, paint the sides of it white. And porpoises can actually go swim up to 45 miles an hour, and dolphins can only go about 25 miles an hour. And the reason why porpoises have to go about 45 miles an hour because orcas like to eat porpoises. And orcas can go 45 miles an hour. So one balances out the other one.
It's amazing how nature created certain things, and you have predator and prey relationships. And well, one thing is, if you're lucky, you can occasionally spot a whale off of our coast. What kind of whales are typical or populate along our Santa Monica Bay?
Well, right now happens to be the northern migration of the Pacific gray whale. And they basically come from, when I use the word basically, because back in the heyday when there was lots and lots of whales, they would go all the way up to Alaska, feed under the ice, and then around in the fall, they start making their way back down and go into the lagoons in Mexico, like San Ignacio and down near Grego and stuff like that. Since the sea ice has been melting at the top of the, Bering Sea, and don't like these terminology North Pole, but the sea ice have been melting in enormous numbers, a lot of the whale food has been not there, been dying. And the last count from, we have lost, this is the last report from NOAA, which is National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. They do a lot of work with and science out with the animals out there. We've lost about 40% of the gray whale population within the last 5-6 years due to sea warming, due to that. So now a lot of our gray whales aren't making it all the way up to Alaska. They're finding new areas like Newport, Oregon, and San Juan Islands, Washington, in the mud, and all these little nooks and crannies coming off, going into Vancouver Island, and even our very own L.A. Harbor. They've been coming in there to feed in our own Channel Island, Santa Rosa. So there's a lot of things that are changing with it right now, because they got to change as Mother Earth is changing. So, but yeah, normally they go up north and then they come down south into the warmer waters.
It's amazing how animals, mammals, all creatures adapt to the changing environment. Some, become extinct, but most of them, learn to adapt and can, breed and repopulate. Well, on that note, that's all the time we have. I want to thank my listeners for listening to Powell to the People, and always remember, power is the ability to do good things for to others and to make your community and the world a better place. This is Wayne Powell sending you positive thoughts and good wishes. Stay safe, be well, and have a great week. We'll see you back next Monday. Until then, bye for now.
It's Power to the People.